إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد وجيسا سؤال ميتي الله سبحانه وتعالى May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions all together. Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Usul Sunnah, written by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, alayhi rahmatullah. The Sheikh says, ومثل ما كان مثله في القدر. Likewise, one has to believe in whatever is like it from the hadith of Al-Qadr. That is, apart from the hadith of As-Sadiq Al-Mazluq, which was reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, every other ahadith talking about Al-Qadr, we have to believe in it. Every other hadith talking about Al-Qadr, we have to believe in it. ومثله ومثل ما كان مثله في القدر. Likewise, we believe in the ahadith that are like each concerning qadr. Take for instance the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدَرُ فَأَمْسِكُ. When qadr is mentioned, فَأَمْسِكُ, he said, you should stop arguing about it. Don't say anything contrary, don't oppose it. We have to believe in Al-Qadr. Likewise, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he was told about some people who are saying La Qadr, there is no Qadr, Wal Amr Unuf, and the matter is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know until it happened. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have or did not have a prior knowledge of anything that happens. And we say this is the statement of Ghulatul Qadariyah, that is, those who are extremes in opposing Qadr. You know, we said Qadr has four stages. The first stage is Al-Ilmu, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that encompasses everything. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of things that were yet to be created from eternity. That is the first stage. The second stage is al-kitaba. That is the writing down of the certain knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the second stage. Then the third stage is al-kitab, al-mashi'ah. That is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the final stage is al-khalq, the creation. So whoever believes in these four stages, definitely the person has believed in al-qadr. The ghulat al-qadariyya, they did not believe in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the writing down of all that will happen. So the pious predecessors or the righteous predecessors, they make takfir of them. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did tabarru from those people. He exonerated himself, he freed himself from them, because this is going against what is established in the Quran. So they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have any prior knowledge of the happenings in the universe, and he did not write those things down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alam ta'alam أن الله يعلم ما في السماء والأرض إن ذلك في كتاب إن ذلك على الله يسير. Don't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of what is in the heaven and on the earth? إن ذلك في كتاب. Certainly that is in a book, that is a preserved tablet. Inna ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And that is certainly easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu dissociated himself from those people who were opposing the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the writing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Allah kataba maqadir al-khalqi bi 50,000 sana qabla khalqi al-samawati wal-arj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the decrees of the creations 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, Uktub, write. And the pen said, Mada Uktub, what should I write? He said, what? Write. He said, Mada Uktub, what should I write? He said, Uktub ma huwa kainun ila yawm al-qiyamah. Write all that will be till the day of resurrection. So a hadith like this, talking about Qadr, we have to believe in them. So a lot of a hadith on Qadr. So we should not go against those a hadith. We shouldn't have doubt about them. So the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah said, وَمِثْلُ مَا كَانَ مِثْلَهُ وَمِثْلُ مَا كَانَ مِثْلَهُ. And whatever is like it, that is like the hadith of As-Sadiq Al-Masduq في القدر عن قدر. وَمِثْلُ أَحَدِيثِ الرُّؤْيَا. Likewise, the ahadith of al-ru'ya, the ahadith of al-ru'ya. Ru'ya means to see something, that is the sighting or the seeing of something is called what? Ru'ya. From ra'a, yara, ru'yatan. So that is to see something. So what is talking about? It's talking about the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So a hadith talking about this, we should also believe in them. The innovators like the Mu'tazila, the Asha'ira, they do not believe that the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Because he said, if you are going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see him towards somewhere. So that you are seeing him up, or you are seeing him in front of you, or at the back, or the side. And you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in any of the jihad. So the jihad, that is the side, cannot accommodate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this reason, the third, it is not possible for anybody to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will use as evidence that Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him see him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Lan tarani. Lan tarani. You cannot see me. So that means you cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believers, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they said, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life is not possible. Lan tarani, that is, you cannot see me now. You cannot see me in this world. But that doesn't mean you cannot see me in the year after. So, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbi arini andur ilayka. Oh my Lord, let me see you. He said, Lan tarani, you can't see me. Walakin undur ila al-jabal. Look at the mountain before you. Fain istaqarra makanahu fasawfa tarani. If the mountain remained the way it is, then you see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ, when its Lord appeared to the mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ, he made it crumbled. فَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, and Prophet Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام fell down, fainted. So in this world, it's not possible for anybody to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody. And that was when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on Mi'raj, when he went up, he was asked, did you see your Lord? He said, Nurun anna arahu. Ra'aytu Nuran, I saw light. Said, what anna arahu? That is, how could I have seen him? That is, I didn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I only saw light. In a hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and some others, he said, Hijabuhu, Hijabuhu Noor. What cleans Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being seen is Noor, is light. Law kashafahu, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to remove the Noor, the light, La ahraqat subhatu wajhihi man taha ilayhi basaru min khalqi. He said, the subhat, that is the light of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would destroy of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would destroy whatever the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. Everything will be destroyed. That is, everything on the surface of the earth will go into extinction if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to remove the light. So that's why it's not possible to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. So on the day of Qiyamah, likewise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith that وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَحْدَكُمْ لَنْ يَرَى رَبَّهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتُ. And know that one of you would not see his Lord until he dies. One of you will not see his Lord. That is, no one amongst you will see his Lord until he dies. So seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will be something that the believers will be eager, for. That is, they would want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us among those who enjoy seeing Him on the day of Qiyamah. So I'm glad by the blessing of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith reported by Imam Muslim and some others. He said, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةَ. When the people of Al-Jannah enter Al-Jannah. إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ. When the people of Al-Jannah, the people of Paradise, enter Paradise. قال, he said, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ تَعَالَى. Allah, the Exalted, the Eye, who say, تريدون شيئا, do you want anything? أزيدكم, that I can add to this your enjoyment. فيقولون, the people of Al-Jannah, may Allah count us among them, who say, ألم تبيد وجوهنا. فيقولون, they will be saying, ألم تبيد وجوهنا. Haven't you brightened our faces? أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. Haven't you made us enter الْجَنَّةِ. وَتُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Haven't you saved us from fire. قَالْ فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take off the hijab. فَمَا عُطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَذَ وَجَلْ. فَمَا أُوتُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَذَ وَجَلْ. So they were not given, they will not be given anything that will be more beloved to them than seeing their Lord عَذَ وَجَلْ, the mighty, the great. So there is nothing that the people of Al-Jannah will be given that will be more beloved to them than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَالْزِيَادَةَ. For those who do righteous deeds, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well, those who strive in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them is al-husna, that is al-jannah, wa ziyada, an addition. So this is the third watch, the addition, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, this is what? Looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody that you have been hearing about, maybe you've been reading his works, listening to his lectures, or something like that. But you have not made the person to met the person in person. You have not come in contact with the person. That is personal, you haven't had personal contact with the person. If you have that opportunity, you know how much you'll be happy meeting somebody that you have been watching. Maybe you have been hearing his lectures, you have been dreaming to meet. Maybe a wealthy person that you have been willing to meet, you have been eager to meet. When you meet that person, you'll be very happy. وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been worshipping him in this world. All the years that you spent in the worldly life, you did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the day of Qiyamah, when you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be the highest wish, so to say, that is that you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, in this world, said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk, my Lord, let me see you. And Allah said, what? Lan tarani, you can't see me. ولكن انظر الى الجبل, look at the mountain, فيستقر مكانه فسوف تراني. If the mountain remains the way it is, you see me. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا. The way Allah created mankind, you cannot bear in this worldly life. We can't bear seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That feature, that quality is not in us, not in any of his creation. You can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And already the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked, did you see your Lord? He said, what? Ra'aytu nura. I only saw light. Anna arau, I can't see him. How can I see him? I can't see him. Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Allah spoke to him directly, but he never saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the believers on the day of Qiyamah is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will see your Lord on the day of Qiyamah, the way you see the moon, the way you see the moon in its fullest. When the moon is at its fullest, the way you see it is the way you see your Lord on the day of Qiyamah. So that doesn't mean you do idhak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because la tudrikul absar, the sight cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as you cannot encompass the sun in this worldly life. You can see the sun, but you cannot encompass it. He's saying it. So la tudrikul absar, the sight cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the day of Qiyamah, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us among the inmates of Al-Jannah. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And that will be what? The greatest joy. Huh? The greatest wish and the greatest joy. What Prophet Musa alayhi salam wished in this world, and he could not get. So that will be the greatest wish and will be the greatest joy. So this is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُجُوءٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَادِرَةٌ. Some faces on that day will be fresh. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَادِرَةٌ. And they will be looking at their Lord. They will be looking at their Lord. The innovators from among the Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila and the like, the Jahmiya, he said, no, you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That nobody will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Just as you cannot see him in this world, you cannot see him on the day of Qiyamah. So this is the position of the Asha'ira. This is the position of the Mu'tazila. And this is the reason that they are declared Mubtadi'a. The Salaf al-Sali, they will be harsh on the innovators the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila. It will be ashed on them on three major things, more than any other thing. The first one is this issue of Ar-Ru'yah, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among what the Shaykh has mentioned now. The second one is that the Quran is creative. So we are still going to talk about that, inshallah. Then the third one is that Allah is not above the truth. The Mu'tazila, the Jahmiyya, and the later Ash'ira, they believe Allah is not up. They believe Allah is not up. We are still going to talk about that too. These three issues, the Prophet scholars were very harsh on them. So the issue of receiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the established aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the established aqidah of the companions, the students of the companions, and the students of the students of the companions, down to our time. This is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the believers are going to see their Lord. There was somebody called Bishr al-Marisi. Is one of those Mu'tazila, one of those who believe that the Muslims will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qiyamah. So that was a scholar during his time by name Ubayd Shunuzi. So when Bishr al-Marisi died, Ubayd Shunuzi attended his janazah. The other great scholars of Sunnah were surprised. They said, what is this nonsense? Attending the janazah of a Muftadi, Conk Muftadi, one of the leaders of the Muftadi'ah. So when he came back, they were attacking him. He said, let me speak. Allow me to speak. Hear from me first before you attack me. He said, okay, speak. He said, you know that this man will say that the believers will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So when I went to the janazah, my supplication was that, oh Allah, this man, while he was alive, he believed that you will not be seen on the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, deny him saying you. Oh Allah, deny him seeing you. Don't let him see you, because he believed that the believers will not see you on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah, don't make him see you on the day of Qiyamah. Then he said some other things, like that he will deny or he will go against the punishment of the grave. He believed that there is something like punishment of the grave. He said, oh Allah, okay, he said, oh Allah, punish him severely in the grave, because he did not believe in the punishment of the grave. Let him see the punishment of the grave. So this is how much the scholars of the past, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Salafus Sali, how much they took the matter of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the kuffar, they will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُمْ أَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. So they will be prevented from seeing their Lord on that day. So this is the reward of the kuffar. They won't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about the munafiqun? Those who claim to be Muslims in this world, but they are kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them see him in the arasat of al-jannah, the arasat of qiyamah. So they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala briefly, and they watch, they will not be allowed to see him afterwards. So they will be taken to hellfire. So they will be taken to hellfire. So they will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards. So this is the way the munafiqun will be treated. This is the way the munafiqun will be treated. As for the believer, so one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor them with is to make him, to make them see him. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among those who see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh Ali rahmatullah said, وَمِثْلُ مَا كَانَ مِثْلَهُ فِي الْقَدَرِ ومثل أحاديث الرؤية كلها. Likewise, like the ahadith of الرؤية in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them, as long as they are authentic ahadith, you must believe in them. وإن نأت عن الأسماء even if those ahadith are far to the ears, that is, they are hadith that the ears will not want to hear. وَالصَّوْحَشَ مِنْهَا الْمُسْتَمِعُونَ. Likewise, the listener would not be comfortable with them. The listener here means the person that is an innovator. As for the listener who is a believer and who is upon sunnah, he will not have problem with those ahadith. He will not have problem with those ahadith. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can watch, can do, or he does whatever he wills. So, but somebody who is an innovator, whenever he hears the hadith, even when the hadith is authentic, he has problem with the hadith. He will not be comfortable with the hadith. He will watch, he will rubbish the hadith. So the Shaykh Ali rahmatullah said, وَإِن نَأَتْ عَنِ الْأَسْمَى. نَأَتْ from نَأَى يَنْعَى يعني بَعُدَى. He said, وَإِن نَأَتْ عَنِ الْأَسْمَى يعني وَإِن بَعُدَتْ عَنِ الْأَسْمَى. Even if they are far from the years, that is the years of the innovators. But the years of the people of Sunnah, they will not have problem with anything that is authentic. So even if they do not really understand it, they say, Ammanna bih, we believe in it. But an innovator, what we have problem with, will not be comfortable with such a hadith. And this is what we've been having. Huh? This has been their way from the time of the companions. From the time of the companions, this has been their way from the time of the companions. وَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. What is compulsory on him is to compulsory on them, or compulsory on him is to believe in those ahadith. وَأَلَّا يَرُدَّ مِنْهَا حَرْفًا وَاحِدًا. And he should not go against or reject a letter of the hadith. وغير من الأحاديث المأثورات عن الثقات. And وغيرها, that is, he should not reject other than those أحاديث من الأحاديث المأثورات عن الثقات. From among the أحاديث that have been reported from the ثقات, the reliable ones. So this is to tell us on seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So the Shaykh Ali rahmatullah has talked about Qadr and believing in the hadith of Qadr. He has also talked about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in a hadith that have to do with that. Likewise, we talked about sticking to the Sunnah and the position of Sunnah to the Quran. So all this have been explained. So likewise, he has talked about the way the people of Sunnah relate with the Athar, with the Ahadith, with the verses of the Quran. So they don't put forward the intellect above the Nusus, contrary to the way of the innovators. So the innovators, they give precedence to their intellect above what? The text. So over some of them, if they authenticate the text, or they accept that the text is authentic, like the Quran for instance, they will do the ta'wil of the text. Bishop Marisi, that is the man that I mentioned earlier, one of the leaders of the innovators, was telling some of the students, he said, when the people of hadith bring hadith to you, don't say you don't believe in the hadith, but do the ta'wil, interpret the hadith in such a way that you agree with your intellect. That is the way of some of them. Some of them will reject the hadith. They say they only believe in the Quran. So hadith, they reject. Some of them who went to the extent of rejecting some verses of the Quran, that they don't believe. So innovation is evil. The only way one can be saved is for one to stick to the way of the Salaf. When we say the Salaf, we mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and their students. So anything apart from this is misguidance. Nobody can come today and tell us that he understands Islam better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So that's why their way is the only right way that you can tread to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why it is important. So if you are asked, mention the usul of the people of Sunnah, or mention the usul of Sunnah. These are things that we should know. So we should know all this. So any person going against all this, going against Ruya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, the one going against Qadr, or going overboard in the establishment of Qadr, such a person is an innovator. In behalf of the Quran, we memorize a hadith, but he was an innovator, because these are the usul. Each aslu, if somebody gets it wrong, there are people of innovation who are in that aslu. Take, for example, we talk about the Qadr now. We talk about the Qadariya. We say some are Gulatu Qadariya. Some are what? Not Gulatiya Mutawasito Al-Qadariya. So this is because they have problem with Qadar. Some are Jabriya. This is because they go overboard in the establishment of Qadar. We are talking about Qadar only. Somebody is a guilty in Qadar and think what? Guilty in some other things. The Mu'tazila, for instance, their problem is not only with Qadar. They also have problem with Al-Atma wa Sifat. They have other problems. So, take for example, when somebody is Jahmi, that is, they ascribe the person to Jahm. He may not fall in all the things that Jahm bin Safwan has fallen into. Like Jahm bin Safwan, when he talked about the issue of Qadr, he is what? Jabri. That is, he is opposite to the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila, they condemn Qadr. But Jahm go overboard in the establishment of Qadr. But they still call the Mu'tazila, we call them Jahmiya, looking at the aspect of what? Maybe Sifat, where they agree with the first person or the first person that was popular will be with going against what sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his asma. So it is important that we learn the aqeel of Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah so that we don't find ourselves in the midst of any of these innovators. So inshallah we start with subhanahu wa ta'ala bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Who died?
Who
very smoothly. Now, the question is that in the course of the lecture, I mentioned one of the scholars of Sunnah in person of Ubayd Ash-Shunuzi. So who went to the janaza of Bishr al-Mariti and was supplicated against him, he caused him. So ordinarily, we are not to attend the janaza of Al-Muftadir. We are not to attend the janaza of Al-Muftadir. That was why his friends were surprised. So attending the janaza of Al-Muftadir, they were surprised. But he did that in order to let the people, that means his friends, to know the reason why he went there. That he went to cause him. So there is nothing wrong in causing somebody who is a kafir, particularly somebody who did fitna for the Muslims. This man, I mean Bishr al-Mariti, was very close to the rulers. He misled the rulers, and the rulers they propagated, they spent money on the propagation of his aqidah. So what Ubayd Ash-Shunuzi did, the scholars did not have a problem with that. The problem they could have had with him is if he had gone there to pray for him, which is what against what the people of Sunnah are upon. So ordinarily somebody who is a Muftadi, particularly Rasul Dalala, you don't pray for such a person. You don't pray for such a person. You don't attend the janaza of such a person. So this is what we know. Rasul Munafiqin, Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, when his son appeared to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to shroud him with his garment and to also pray on him, Messenger of Allah did that. Allah rebuked him for doing that. And Allah said, "Wala tusalli ala ahadin minhum mata abadan." Don't do that again. Don't pray on anyone like them. Anyone like him that dies, don't pray on him. Allah takum ala qabr. So this is the munafiq. So what about somebody who also caused fitna for the Muslims, caused Muslim fitna for the people of Sunnah? So there is nothing wrong in what he did, only that it was not something that was common to go to the janaza to supplicate against the innovators. So take for example somebody who see him there may think, or also him there may think that they had come to us to pray for him, but he had a different mission. So that's on one side. Now somebody who is a good person, maybe a person of Sunnah, but the person when he died, it is the innovators that have what control on his janaza. Are you with me? Somebody is upon Sunnah. He dies. It is the innovators or the evil people, maybe from his family and things, that have what upper hand in treating, burying his janaza. Now, can you as a Sunni attend the janazah, despite the fact that those who are going to lead the salah are what? Are innovators. Can you do that? Or you cannot? Do you get the question? Those who take control of the janazah are the innovators, the evil people. Huh? And the person is a person that is upon good aqidah. Yes, you can go. You watch, you supplicate for him. You supplicate for him. Despite the fact that the one that is leading the scholar is maybe a muftadir, you still go there to supplicate, because that person that died, you owe him what? Huh? You owe him a duty, so to say. He has a right that you, as Muslims, as a people of Sunnah, you pray on him. Yes, it is fardu kifaya. If some people do it, others are not liable. So, you won't, because of the people of innovation, abandon the janazah of somebody who is steadfast. I hope this is clear. So, Allah wa'ala. Okay. No, the question is not clear. Okay. Now the question is, the stepmother of one's wife, can one see her face if she's in the Kobe? The answer is no. Yeah. To what extent is rejecting Qadar lead one to kufr? Now I've mentioned this. The one who says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have the knowledge of things before they happen. As the earlier Qadariya who say, that is people like those that even Umar radiallahu anhu, those that he met, that is those that they brought their matter to him. So if that is the aqidah of that person, then the person is a kafir. The person is a kafir. Maybe he said Allah did not have the knowledge of things before they happened, or Allah did not write things then. So that is going against Allahu al-Mahfud. Such a person is kafir. So that's what Imam Shafi alayhi rahmatullah said, that he said nazi'u al-qadariyya bil-ilm. You debate with them. You debate with them on what? On al-ilm. That is asking them if they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prior knowledge of things before the apple. He said, in aqarru, if they said yes, khusimu, they are defeated. Wa in ankaru, if they go against the kafar, they disbelieve. So, but the one who negates the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the khalqu, this is what the mutawassitatul qadariyah will do. So because they believe that your action, you created your action yourself. It's not Allah that created your action. Allah created you. But the things that you do, they believe you created your action yourself. So somebody who is praying, somebody who is fasting, doing this, they believe he's also creating his own action. Somebody who steals, somebody who fornicates, somebody who does kufru, they believe is creating his own action. So you are the creator of your action according to the Mu'tazila. That is the Qadariyah. So according to the Qadariyah, that is the later Qadariyah, so they restrict theirs towards the issue of creation and the issue of Mashiach. They will say, the one who is killing, the one who is doing things that Allah does not love. So Allah lam yasha. Allah did not will it. He willed it. He willed it by himself, not Allah that willed it. But what is in the Quran is وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You cannot will something unless Allah will it. What will Allah will it. This is to tell us that there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have control over. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden from Allah. Whether good or bad, whatever any person is doing, Allah will it. That is that thing, for it to come to pass, it will not escape the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have your own will, but your will will be preceded by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah created you and your action. The way He created you, He created your action. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amadun. Allah created you and your action. So this is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. But the Qadariya, the later Qadariya, they will go against Al-Mashia and Al-Khalq. And that's why the hadith that Al-Qadariya majusu adil ummah is applicable to them. That the Qadariya are what? They are like the Magians of this ummah. The Magians, they believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe there is a God of light and God of darkness. So anything good in this world, people doing good things, they believe it is the God of light that is what, that is at work. So anything evil, people are doing evil, they believe it is the God of darkness that is at work. So they believe in two gods, God of light and God of darkness. So the Qadariya, they are like the Magians. They believe Allah created. He created things, but He did not create the actions of mankind. Mankind created their actions by themselves. So they believe in what? Two creators. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mankind who created their actions. So they said this. They had intention of defending the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The laws that you should do this, do this, do this, do this. So don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. When you not do what you are asked not to do. So they don't want to say the Qadar. They say, no, you created this. So you should be blamed for that. So they had good intention of promoting the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your good intention is not enough. You have to follow. So, and that's why they are what? They are Mubtadi'ah. Despite the fact that they have good intention. They want to deal with those who are using Qadar to run away from the Jews. They want to run away from the Jews. And when you ask, why are you not praying, you say it's Qadar. Why are you not doing this, it's Qadar. Why are you doing this, that is haram, you say it's Qadar. So the Qadariya want to fight them. They want to take them up. They say, don't bring Qadari, there is no Qadar. Meaning Allah did not create things, Allah did not will them. So, but the early Qadariya, they went as far as what? Even saying Allah did not know about anything that will happen. Allah did not write it. So all the stages of Qadar, the Ghulat al-Qadariya, they negated everything. But the Mutawassito, those who are in between, they said, no, Allah had knowledge that so and so person will do this. And it was written down because the knowledge was what certain. But he did not will it for them. They will it by themselves. He did not create, they created. So scholars are not as harsh on them as we were harsh on the Ghulatu Qadariya. Wallahu a'lam. The dead. Somebody who has died, can he be possessed? I don't know of any evidence for that. Since he's dead, so the jinn cannot possess them. Maybe what you are talking about is what the Yoruba people call Akudaya. Somebody who has died, and you say they see him in Kano or in Ilorin or in If that is what you are saying, yes, the jinn, they can take the form of anything. So, and that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Shaitan, la yatamassalu bi, does not take my form. So, man ra'ani faqad ra'ani. If you see me in dream, you have seen me. But for you to conclude that you've seen him, you must have known the description of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what you see in the dream, if you ask you to describe it, it must agree with what it is in the book. The description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the book. What you see in your dream, that call himself or itself Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad bin Abdullah, Rasulullah, must agree with what is in the book. Let's take for instance, you have Shama'il al-Shama'ilu al-Muhammadiyya of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, where he described the Messenger of Allah. Somebody will say, I saw the Messenger of Allah in dream. I saw a man with white beard, or he got in his trunk. Messenger of Allah never had what white beard. He only had what? Some what? Some beard. That are white, not up to 20, as Anas radiallahu anhu said. So if not see a man with full white beard, that's not the Messenger of Islam. So Allah. Now the Jahmiyyah are they still existing? The Jahmiyyah are they still existing? We said Jahmiyyah is an affliction to Jam bin Safwan. Jam bin Safwan was a student of a man called Jahad bin Dirham. Jahad bin Dirham. Jahad bin Dirham was the first person to say Allah did not take Ibrahim as Khalil. And you know in the Quran we have what وَتَخَذَ اللَّهُ Ibrahim Khalila. He said no, Allah did not take him as Khalil. He started philosophizing to see what when you say taking someone as Khalil, is taking someone as a friend. You know, somebody is your friend, that somehow the person is going to affect your heart. So can you say Allah is taking someone as friend, meaning what that person will be affecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah does not take somebody as a friend. He started that philosophizing. So likewise, he said Allah did not speak to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And we have in the Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. So the ruler at that time, when he heard it, said, this is rubbish. It's that you acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as Khalil and he spoke to Prophet Musa, or I kill you. So the man insisted. You see video. He insisted, and when he insisted on that king, Khalid bin Abdullah al-Qasri, he said, oh people, Dahru, said, kill, it was on Eid al-Adha. He said, kill your sacrificial animal. Taqabbal Allahu duhayakum. May Allah accept your sacrificial. Fa'in udahi bil ja'aj. I'm going to slaughter ja'aj today. Fa'innahu za'ama anna Allah lam yukallim Musa taklim wa lam yattakhid Ibrahim khalila. That means he had gone against two verses of the Quran clearly. So that man said what he said. Some people still fell for him. So among those who fell for him was Jam bin Safwan. So Jam bin Safwan added words of heresies. All the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. Al-Maliku, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mumin, Al-Muhaymin. He said they are not names of Allah. They tell you if I display, Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. Al-Maliku, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mumin. Then it says, those names, the attributes are normal attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, each name contains what? An attribute. He said they are not attributes of Allah. So he said they are referring to creations of Allah, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What led him to that? He said, if Allah should have those names, if only he gained those names, it means you have many gods. Look at what the Shaykh said. Said it means you have many gods. So how can he be what? Al-Qudus, Al-Salam, Al-Mumin, Al-Muhaymin. That's many gods. Then those attributes, he cannot possess those attributes, because those attributes are attributes of things that are affected by what? By other things. And Allah should not be subject to what? To events and happenings. So when you say somebody knows, there will be a time that he doesn't know. And you say somebody is what? Is worthy, for instance, there will be a time that he's not worthy. All those philosophy. So then he had what? Thinking with some philosophers Hindu philosophers. So they are called the Sumaniya. So they said, Oh Jam, you said you are worshipping your God. Have you seen your God before? He said, no. Have you felt him? Have you touched him? He said, no. So these five senses of your thing, they asked him questions concerning, he said, no. He said, then what are you worshipping? So he became confused. So for about 40 days, he was not observing Salah. He said, he will be thinking about this question. So after 40 days, he came back to them. He said, I've gotten an answer to your question. What was the answer? He said, do you have soul? He said, yes. He said, let me see your soul. So they could also not bring out their soul. So with this, he said, Allah can exist, but you cannot see Allah. So eventually he limited Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to an abstract thing, just like something that exists in what? A kind of imagination. Not something that you say what is up or so. You say Allah is not up, is not. So Allah is just like an idea, yes. Allah is like an idea. So, and that's why scholars will say, Al-Mu'attilu, the one who is negating the attributes of Allah, Ya'abudu Adaman, is worshipping what does not exist. So, then when they now say somebody is a Jahmi, that doesn't mean that he copies Jahmi in everything, but he took from some of the Aqidah of Jahmi, so on. It may be in the aspect of Qadar, it may be in the aspect of Asma or Sifat, it may be in the aspect of Iman, as we shall explain, inshallah. So Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka.